real quick work of both of them. First up is Senate File 739, Senator Frederickson. And it's my understanding, I believe you've got a little amendment to offer up.
Mr. Chairman, actually, I'll have two amendments. One is written and is technical. The other we'll do orally.
Okay.
Where's his first
This is the written one here.
This one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Olson offers up the A4 amendment. This is strictly a... It changes a D and inserts an F.
Mr. Chairman, we in this ATV bill, in existing law, a road authority can close a highway to ATV use. That's paragraph D. In the law, there's also a provision for the Commissioner of Natural Resources to close a highway to ATV use. And I'm a believer that when you read the law, you should be able to understand exactly what it is that you're expected to do or can or cannot do. And I think it makes it clear if we put reference paragraph F there also. So if you read the law, you can say, okay, well, that highway can be closed either by the road authority or your natural resources under certain conditions. That's what it does.
On the Olson amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail. Senator Frederickson, you had one more.
Mr. Chairman, why don't we wait till later with that one?
Because okay.
Has a little more. Mr. Chairman, members, I'm not sure how much you want to hear about this bill, but until recently we talked about ATVs. You're talking about basically one size of ATV. It was a typical four-wheeler. Coming on the scene over the last two or three years are much larger machines. Going up to 1,600 pounds. They can have as many as six wheels. They're much heavier. So last year, we divided the ATVs into two classes. Class 1, the traditional ATVs you see, and Class 2, which can go up to 1,600 pounds. And there you'll typically see a Class 2 ATV perhaps around the golf course or being used for maintenance on a large state of some kind. They're quite utilitarian. It's not appropriate to have those larger ones go on the smaller ATV trails, and the Class 1 ATVs are restricted to the back slope of highways. We don't want the Class 2 on that part of the right-of-way. We want them up on the shoulder of the highway, and that's essentially what this bill does. Now, you do have a summary of the bill. I don't know if you want me to go through the whole thing or not. A person under age 18 cannot operate a Class 2 all-terrain vehicle or ride as a passenger without wearing a seat belt when one is provided by the manufacturer. A person under the age of 16 cannot operate ATV, unless there's a guardian or somebody specified by the guardian to oversee them. Section 3 is the passenger provision, the Class 1 ATV. You can only carry one passenger. With a Class 2 ATV, you can carry two passengers or up to the number of passengers that the machine. Section 4 restricts the use of ATVs, forest roads, minimum rate maintenance roads, ATV. Section 5, paragraph B, restates what is current law. A person may operate a Class 1 all-terrain vehicle in the ditch or the outside or slope of a trunk. County, state, aid, or county. You can operate paragraph C. You can operate a Class 2 ATV within the public road right of way, county, state, aid, or county highway, extreme right hand side of the road. The road, if it's safe to do so. A person may operate a Class 2 all terrain vehicle on the bank or ditch of a public road right away on a designated Class 2 all terrain vehicle. Then existing paragraph D, that's where a county, a road authority, it's more than a road authority, more than a county, can close a road to ATV use. Chairman, I'll skip back to Section 6 then. Since there are some places where an ATV trail does for a short distance use a part of the road right-of-way as part of that grant-in-aid trail, our state trail, and where they sometimes do cross a public right-of-way, we say that you cannot have an open bottle on that ATV while you're crossing that roadway unless the road, that little part of road right-of-way, is part of a grant-in-aid trail that's been designated by the Commissioner of Natural Resources. Keep in mind that as with motorboats and also ATVs, it is always illegal to drive them over 8. That's existing law. Mr. Chairman, I did relay a concern that the conservation officers had with this new Section 6, if Ms. Brzozowski would share.
Ms. Brzozowski.
Mr. Chair, on 4.11, after the word designated, insert for that vehicle.
And Ms. Brzozowski, that does what to that sentence?
That means that, okay, this clause is relating to the exception to the open bottle law for off-road recreational vehicles. The open bottle law would not apply to off-road recreational vehicles when they are on a trail designated for that particular type of vehicle by the commissioner, even if it is on a right-of-way.
Why? Mr. Chairman?
Senator Rest.
Why would we want to do that?
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, there are places where there will be ATV trails, our snowmobile trails for that matter, where they'll need to go across a highway. They're on the trail, but they'll need to cross the highway, or maybe they'll go in the right-of-way of the highway, maybe for 100 feet, a couple hundred feet, a short distance, and then go back into the woods or into the field.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Frederickson, right now you can have an open bottle on an ATV as long as you're drinking on an ATV trail?
Chairman, Senator Rest, yes.
My goodness.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, it is illegal to drive them while you're impaired. That's existing law. You can have the bottle on the vehicle as you can on a boat. You cannot be impaired.
Yeah, Senator Rest,
you can
operate on public waters as long as you're not hammered. Or I should say over the limit. So if you're out in the boat and out catching walleye one day and you have a couple beers.
What's the public policy difference than driving in a car and drinking if you're not inebriated? What's the difference? The basic public policy difference.
I didn't say there was a difference.
Gee, my ninny.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, they use ATVs and snowmobiles for going to a destination, to going to deer camps, to going to events out in the woods or out in the field, and this is a way for them to transport those beverages to that destination, which is the major reason.
Mr. Chairman, I don't mean to belabor this point. I just didn't. I never knew that, but I can't imagine why they need to have an open bottle. I mean, closed bottles is one thing, but open bottles when you're driving a snowmobile? Whoa. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I believe.
I guess I'm just naive.
The amendment that you have before it actually tightens this up some.
On the oral amendment, the Olson oral amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion does prevail.
Mr. Chairman, if you need a motion to move the bill wherever you want it, I'll do that too.
Okay. Senator Skoy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Senator Frederickson. Section 4 on the Class 2 all-terrain vehicles, isn't the department in the process of reviewing and going through their state forest land designation process, and doesn't this kind of supersede that process?
Mr. Chair, members for the record, Bob Meyer, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Natural Resources. The bill before you today is a bill that we asked Senator Frederickson to carry. It is a department bill. What Section 4 allows us to do is make sure, as with all of our ATV processes we're going through, these machines are on the types of trails that they should be on. Our mantra on where we're moving in the state is managed use on managed trails by a machine type that are capable for sustained use. What this language says, that they're allowed on forest roads, minimum maintenance roads, and trails designated and signed for Class 2 ATVs or these larger machines. Typically, you'll see they'll be on abandoned railroad grades. The Sioux Line Trail is a perfect example. Runs from Mille Lacs up north through McGregor, crosses Highway 65. It is an abandoned railroad grade. It's a Class 5 road, basically. It's a snowmobile trail, recreational trail. So what we're trying to do is make sure that these are being driven where they are supposed to be driven.
And Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so this just applies to the Class 2 vehicles. It makes no changes to the Class 1 vehicles that the designation is working
Mr.
on
Chair,
there.
Mr. Chair, Senator Skoy, correct.
Thank you.
Great.
Senator Watt.
Mr. Chair and Senator Frederickson, Section 5 of the bill on page starting at line 2.23, when it references operations on roads and right-of-ways, and in particular the new language at paragraph C, is that talking about instances where in some of the suburbs where we see snowmobiles on the side of roads, county roads and things like that, like in Woodbury and other places when I've driven by that, you know, snowmobiles can be parallel to traffic flowing in either direction?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ma, is that page 3, line 6? Is that what you're talking about?
Page 2, line 2.31.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ma, this bill only applies to ATVs, to all-terrain vehicles.
Okay.
It does not apply to snowmobiles. And this provision applies just to the larger ATVs.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, but that still also allows them to drive, you know, on the banks parallel to the highways and the county state.
No.
Chairman, Senator Mout, that is correct. Unless the road authority exercises the authority we give them on page 3, lines 3 to 5, where the road authority can close a road, just hold a public hearing, and they can close the road to ATVs. Some road authorities have done that.
So, Senator Frederickson, the road authority for Goodhue County, for example, could decide that out on number 7 is not a good place, and they could just say no.
Mr. Chairman, that's right. They could just have a public hearing and close the highway.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Skoy.
Just so I'm clear, then, I'm not... hadn't followed all of that, but so you're a cattle rancher and you're going between fields and you're hauling a couple hay bales in the back of your six-wheeler and you end up going down the township or the county road for a quarter mile to get to the next. Is that legal or is it not?
Mr. Chair and Senator Skoy, that is legal. If you look down on paragraph H, lines page 3, lines 28 to 33,
here it is. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may briefly just give a brief history on where this bill came from and why we're trying to do these things. Last session, the last night on Sunday, you may recall, a DNR provision omnibus bill was passed before the budget resolution was finally agreed to. That provision did contain the establishment of the Class 2 ATVs. We recognized at that point that there were some technical changes that needed to be made. But due to the fact that it was a House file that had come over and the House had already adjourned, working with Senator Marty, he had agreed to accept the language, and I gave him my word that we would come back and straighten out this language this session. The bill before you today provides those technical corrections and gives the counties the ability to restrict the gives the road authorities the ability to restrict the use of these machines similar to Class 1 ATVs as they are established now.
Okay. Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of my concerns is that in my district, many of the county roads maybe have a two-foot shoulder. I mean, it's the main driveway and then, you know, a two-foot shoulder and then maybe a steep ditch. So literally these vehicles in those instances would be driving half on the road and half on the ditch because there's such a narrow or such a narrow shoulder that they would be out in the road. So I've got some safety concerns and I've got some maintenance issues because a lot of times that two-foot shoulder is not paved. It'll just be gravel. And they'd be straddling, you know, part out in the traffic lane and part into the shoulder. So I'm concerned about the allowing of this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, the road authority, if it's a county road, the county road can't close those highways to use by ATV. Could a township?
Well, Mr. Chair, I can barely sit down because we had looked at banning ATVs and we found out that not only do we have Polaris Industries in my district, but that there are more ATV users now than snowmobiles because of our mild winters, and that takes some real fortitude for a county board with the people that come out when you talk about banning ATVs, that this kind of puts them in a tough spot because if they have authority to operate on those shoulders, you know, by the state, for the county board to stand up and say, no, you know, we're going to make a position here that, you know, they can't do that, well, then they're taking a lot of heat if they do that.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, Minnesota's a large state, and these are very popular vehicles. They're used for utilitarian uses, and for us to establish a statewide ban, this would be really inappropriate in many parts of the state. I think it's a decision that's best left to the county board, even if it does put them in a difficult spot from time to time. I know there are also people that very much hate ATVs and would like to see them banned from the state if they could. Because if they're improperly used, they do a lot of damage. But I think in this instance, the best way is the local control.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Myers.
Mr. Chair, Senator, the way that we envision this and the way it has worked in several counties, they have done countywide bans, Washington County, for example, and Oka County, but the road authority would be able to restrict what actual roads they would be able to use. So by publishing a map and holding a public meeting, they could say County Road 2 is acceptable, but because of the issues that you just raised, shoulder-type safety issues, these segments will not be allowed. So we're providing the flexibility, I think, that's needed on a statewide kind of control issue, and hopefully that addresses your concerns.
Thank you.
Senator Olsen.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Olsen, these vehicles are predominantly utility vehicles, and I'm not sure how often or how frequently they're used for just a general recreation or tearing around, if you will. And they've got a wider wheelbase, usually a bench seat that can seat up to three people with seat belts. And if you're going on the road, they would cause no more damage than a pickup truck or any other vehicle. The roads are built to a capacity. They're not going to run around and do wheelies with those things on them. But generally, if you're on the road, you're trying to get from one place to another, whether it's agricultural or even in the – if you look in parks and golf courses and on farms, they're becoming a very popular vehicle, and I can attest to it. I'd hate to be without one once I've had one. So. But I haven't had it on the road at all. But
Mr. Vanasek.
No, I don't. But I have a –
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Bob Vanasek, and I represent the Minnesota Inter-County Association. Today I'm here at the request of Carol Loverell, who represents the Association of Minnesota Counties, and she's not able to be here, having some minor surgery done. But I want to make two quick points on the bill. The first is that we feel it's very important that there is language in the bill that would not allow an unlimited exemption to the open bottle law for all-terrain vehicles that would be operating on county right-of-ways or ditches. The second would be that AMC's Legislative Steering Committee did have quite a discussion, not only on my first point, but also the second point, and that is that many commissioners, especially Metro commissioners, felt that there ought to be a prohibition on the use of right-of-ways unless the board acted affirmatively to allow it, kind of the reverse of what's in the bill now. However, I have to say that at the AMC Legislative Steering Committee, a majority of the commissioners that were at that discussion or present for that discussion said that they were willing to accept the way it is in current law, that they would be allowed unless prohibited.
So, Senator Frederickson, there's nobody that opposes your bill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't make that claim, but...
Is there anybody that wants to speak in opposition to the bill? Well, they're not fighting to get to the bat rack, so Senator Olson moves at Senate File 739. Wait a minute, did we adopt the oral amendment?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay.
Two of them.
All right. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion prevails.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next bill is Senate File 1923, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members, this is the extinguishing of the abandoned road issue that we heard the other day, and I'm prepared to offer the A1 amendment. This is a delete-all amendment. This gets the
Senator
bill
Murphy.
A little closer to being palatable for the townships. I think we might still have a little work to be done. We're going to put our omnibus bill together on Thursday. I wanted to run this past the committee. So a little opportunity to kick it around.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kent Sulum with the Minnesota Association of Townships, and this language is language that we have been working on when the bill first came to our attention over on the House side. And what it does is...
Perhaps we should accept the amendment first before we go on. Everyone has their copy?
Yes.
Senator Murphy moves the A1 amendment to Senate File 1923. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Thank you. Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Please state your name again for the record.
Kent Sulum with the Minnesota Association of Townships.
Thank you.
And what this amendment does is in Section 1, it provides for the same notice provisions for an extinguishment as we currently follow for a formal road vacation. And if you recall, when we were first debating this bill, there's a lot of confusion between the difference between an extinguishment and a vacation. And the primary difference is that an extinguishment is something that may look like a road to many people, but there is no legal basis for calling it a road at this time. And so there is a process to extinguish that. Whatever the entity may be, whatever the creature may be, the township could extinguish it. This just clarifies that we'd follow the same notice provision as we would for something that's a non-contested. It's a road. We need to vacate it. And our association is certainly not opposed to notice. Most of our townships, when we've surveyed, provide notice for the extinguishment. So this doesn't really change the vast majority of current practice. It just makes it clear that they have to do the notice. Section 2 is where we start trying to address the more controversial provision, the retroactive nullification of things that have already been done. And what Section 2 does is lay out some criteria so we're not just opening up the Pandora's box of every extinguishment that's ever occurred is hereby nullified. Only certain ones would qualify to be nullified, basically the types of things that we've heard existed up in Barnum Township. And it would then create a cartway rather than a road. And the reason that's an important distinction is the cartway does not require public maintenance, does not require tax dollars. The individual who is most concerned about this particular land, he has testified that that is his desires, that he simply needs access. He's not asking for public improvements, public upgrades to this road. And that would be consistent with what a cartway is. It provides access to a landlocked parcel without burdening taxpayers with the situation. The primary issue that remains, and it may prove to be moot, but I just need to be on record so nobody gets surprised if this occurs, is with the cartway, you're still subjecting somebody's land to an access point, and conceivably there still is that underlying constitutional takings issue. If my land gets to be used by somebody else because a public entity is saying there's now an access there, they are entitled to compensation under both state and federal constitution as a taking to their property. And so there is still a little bit of issue. And under a normal cartway situation where a landowner says, hey, I'm landlocked, I have 5 acres or more of property, and this is all governed by 16408 of state law, they pay for everything. So whatever the land value is worth, that the person who's landlocked pays for it all. Primary difference with this amendment is it says the landlocked owner doesn't pay. We're just making it a state-deemed cartway that something was there. It looked like it was access. We're recognizing it as a state-recognized cartway. I don't know what that means, and hopefully nobody will come back, being that it's not really changing. In the case at hand, it's not really going to change what's been happening. Nobody's likely to care. But if one of the other 3 landowners involved decides, hey, I should be compensated for this cartway, I can tell you that if the suit is brought against the township, we will probably have to bring the state in as a third party because the township isn't creating anything here. We're creating this de facto situation where if there was public involvement, which in this case was a DNR snowmobile trail, it's a cartway. There is a remote chance of a takings claim being here, and I just want to make clear that we're not trying to sneak something by anybody. This is just the way the law works. So,
and Mr. Chairman, committee members, there's still a little bit of work
Senator
left
Murphy.
To be done on this. Maybe a couple sentences changed here and there, but I just wanted the committee to be aware of it because I'm going to offer this up as an amendment to our omnibus bill on Thursday.
Mr. Chair. Senator Olsen.
I'm wondering, by going to a cartway, isn't there an underlying, wouldn't the underlying land still be, if it was a road, it would have been public property, correct? And if it goes to a cartway, isn't the underlying land still, is there an easement, or would it still be public property, or?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, both a cartway and a road creates a public easement right. The main distinction is that a cartway is maintained by the benefiting property owner or owners, where the road is maintained by the road authority, the township, the county, whoever the road authority would be. The cartway is maintained privately. A cartway can also be reverted into a private driveway, which would then cease any public access. It would simply become the underlying land still belongs, just like it does for a road, to the abutting landowners. The individual who is otherwise landlocked would have a private easement for a driveway. But you have, in order to get the driveway, you have to start with a cartway and then revert it.
A follow-up question, if I may.
Senator Olsen.
But what you just described sounds like that makes a lot of sense to me, that, and that would avoid the legal issue, because as it goes from a road to a cartway to a private driveway, or an easement, actually. So I would suspect that there wouldn't be a legal action.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, hopefully in time that might be what happens. The intervening phase where it's a cartway, it's public. It's deemed as a public access. If there's no agreement to get it reverted as a driveway, it sits there as that public easement, and that's what I agree, and I'm hoping this would be a remote risk, but I feel an obligation to explain that it is a risk that's out there, that if there isn't an agreement to revert it, if the property owners can't agree to make it a driveway, it would be deemed a cartway, and that raises the specter of a possible constitutional takings claim. Because in order to revert it to a driveway, there has to be agreement by all landowners involved.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Murphy, I'm wondering how satisfied you are with having it be a cartway rather than a road. And one of the things that I'm concerned about is in some of these cases, we're talking about seniors, people who have owned this property for a long time, and that they weren't able in the first place to maintain that road, and that's why it ended up landlocked, because it wasn't maintained, the state didn't do, or the city, you know, wasn't plowing it, wasn't taking care of it. By making it a cartway, still there will be no plowing, there will be no upkeep on this, and so it seems to me within a very short amount of time we'd be in a similar situation.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, my experiences with cartways, a cartway doesn't go back to somebody's house. It normally goes back to a hunting shack or, the blueberry patch or whatever it might be, or an apple orchard, for example. So they're not heavily used, and definitely not heavily used in the wintertime. And in the wintertime, in those cases where there are cartways that are used, most of those people have their own plowing equipment, and they can get it done on their own.
Okay. So.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoyt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Senator Murphy, or perhaps the township. Is this making any changes to the way that a cartway is established? Because the most controversial times I've seen with regard to cartways is when there's a land ownership change and the new owner wants to have a more formal access than what has currently been in place. Is it making any changes to that part of the process for establishing a cartway and history of use and all of that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, it is not changing the cartway statute at all for the types of cartways that you are describing. It is simply basically saying in these very limited situations where you had something that we're not sure what it was. Was it a public road? Was it a private driveway? It's recognizing that unique creature as now also being a cartway, but it is not modifying any way existing cartway statutes for a normal cartway scenario.
Well, Senator Mr. Chair, so then if there is a usage on land, and it might not be a designated cartway by the township or anything, it might just have been somebody traveling across this land. Currently, I think you have to have 7 years of documented use, and I don't remember what it all is, but it's a pretty involved process. Is this going to short-circuit that process for going from what is just a track to a legal cartway?
Mr. Solomon.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, there's a couple different things that are coming to play here, and this is why this gets to be a much more confusing issue than it may have first appeared. The seven-year rule you're referring to is, I think, what we call is actually the six-year rule, where if you have a tract of land that is used by the public and maintained by the road authority for six consecutive years or more, that becomes a road under Minnesota Statute 160.05. and that's any road authority. But the combination there is there's public maintenance and there's public use. So everybody's thought it's been a road, treated it as a road, maintained it as a road. It becomes a road after 6 years. Otherwise, what you would have is if somebody's using a parcel of land, but there's no public maintenance, after 15 years, under what most people would refer to as squatter's rights, adverse possession, if I use your property without your permission for a set way for 15 years or more, I have a presumption of what's known legally as a prescriptive easement. I can go to court. If you now come back and say, get off my land, I say, hey, I've been here for 15 years or more using this property in this way, and the court will grant me a prescriptive easement to continue using that tract of land in that manner. But that would be a private cause of action where one individual using somebody else's land. When you have public use and public maintenance in 6 years, that creates a de facto road, but you have to have the public maintenance. With this situation, we're saying that there is something that some people thought was a road, others thought was not a road. There isn't a legal documentation for a road. There is paperwork saying that there was a road in 1920, but it's not paperwork we're allowed to rely on. The courts won't let us use this 1920 paperwork. The township records show that they've never maintained the road. They never did anything with what may have been acquired in 1920. Others say that, while it's been used by some as a public way, so that's consistent with what a cartway is. It's there, but it's not public maintenance. It's not held out as something being maintained, and that's why this amendment makes it more consistent. If something's going to move forward, it's definitely more consistent with a cartway than a road.
And Mr. Chair, so, and it'll have to have public dollars expended on Senator it. Did Scoy. I hear that right?
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, as a cartway, there cannot be public dollars spent on it. If it's a road, then there must be tax dollars spent on it. In time, although I know that the current landowner is not interested in a full-grade road, one of the problems we encounter, whether you have a minimum maintenance road or one of these unclassified roads, if somebody says, hey, it's a road, and now I've built there and I want to have my McMansion put up in the middle of the woods, they are entitled, regardless of the road authority, to force that road to be upgraded at full taxpayer expense. With this amendment, you're providing access to one landowner who's landlocked, but at no expense to the public, unless you get the challenge under the constitutional takings issue.
Any other questions? You have some other testimony.
My name is James Blanchard. I'm the person who has been landlocked. And there's one player that hasn't been talked about, and that's the DNR and the grant aid put in the bridge. If it stays a cartway, then it's public, and the state / snowmobile club still owns the bridge. If it goes private, then who does the bridge belong to, and who has a responsibility for a liability? The snowmobile club claims it's their bridge, and I said, well, that's fine. Would you please send me some notification from your insurance company that you will cover me for liability? No such document showed up. I talked to the DNR. They said, yes, it's their bridge. They are still claiming it as being their bridge. And I said, well, what happens if it is on private property? Well, they don't have an answer for that. So I believe that some of the problems will be taken care of. If it's a cartway, then it's still considered to be, at my understanding, it's still considered to be a public property. And the DNR and the snowmobile club can maintain the bridge. The bridge I'm talking about is over a creek that runs through my property. And the bridge is 60 feet long, 16 feet wide, steel frame, planked bridge that is rated in excess of 10,000 pounds because that's what the snowmobile maintenance equipment weighs. So they do have to have access to the bridge, and there's some maintenance that has to be performed on it to maintain its integrity. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, do you have to use that bridge to get access to your property?
To get to the northern one-fourth, yes. The creek cuts the property, cuts off about one-fourth of it. And to get on the northern edge, I either have to use the bridge or go for a swim. It's about 4 or 5 feet deep, so...
Any other discussion? Anyone else wish to testify for or against this bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, what I heard you talk something about you're going to offer this as an amendment to the transportation bill. Is that your thought?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, yes, Senator Scoy.
So we'll have another
Senator Scoy.
Chance to understand this.
We'll have
this.
Another crack at it.
Thank you.
If you want. Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 1932-1923 as amended be laid on the table.
Senator Murphy moves that Senate File 1923 as amendment as amended be laid on the table. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Laid on the table.
And Mr. Chairman, committee members, Thursday we'll be taking up the omnibus policy bill. So bring your amendments.
With that, the committee meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay. I did. I'm ready.
And speaking of amendments, do you want that concrete pumper bill?